أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has made us to resume our sittings after the brief break we had in the month of Ramadan, so that each of us has the opportunity to engage in personal acts of worship. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept these acts of worship and multiply its rewards for us. We also ask him to prolong our lives to have many more Ramadans upon goodness. The last hadith we read was the 11th hadith in Al-Arba'oon al-Nawawiyya of Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. And that hadith is a hadith of the grandchild of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Abu Muhammad al-Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhuma. And that hadith is a hadith, very popular hadith, da'a ma yaribuka ila ma la yaribuka, that we should abandon what makes us doubt for that which does not make us doubt. Today, inshallah, we'll be looking at the 12th hadith in the compilation of Al-Imam al-Nawawi in his Arba'oon alayhi rahmatullah. And that is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, Abdurrahman ibn Fakh radiyallahu anhu, Ad-Jusi. He had told us once when we read a hadith of Abu Huraira that Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu is referred to by the scholars of hadith as Hafizul Ummah. Hafizul Ummah. He's one of those who has the greatest numbers of the hadith in his mind amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He told us how he painstakingly located the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that even his slave who was showing him the way to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ran away. And when he saw the slave, he was being told, this is your slave. But because he was already seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't mind about the slave anymore because of what he had achieved of meeting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is from the most learned human beings in this ummah. And he's from those who hardly forgot whatever they memorized radiallahu anhu. And we told us, I think, about two or three incidences between himself and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one of which the Prophet was reported to have spat into the mouth of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. In other instances, it was a situation where Abu Huraira was praying for retentive memory and the Prophet said, Amin sweet. So amongst other incidences. So Abu Huraira was very beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He loved the Prophet and the Prophet loved him. So he is said to have reported this hadith that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam. In it, it is placed by Imam al-Nawawi in the book. It says, and Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, min hisni islam al-mar'i tarquhu ma la ya'nih. من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه. And he said, الإمام النووي said عليه رحمة الله, حديث حسن رواه الترمذي وغيره. So in it was reported that the Prophet said عليه الصلاة والسلام, من حسن إسلام المرء from the perfection of the Islam of Iman, from the perfection of the religion of Iman, from what indicates that his religion is complete, perfect, nice, تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ, is that he, that person, should leave, or that he leaves مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ, what is not of concern to him. From what indicates the perfection of the Islam of Iman, he is known to perform salah, he is known to pay zakah, he is known to go for hajj, he is known to come for salatul eidain. All of what Muslims do, for which Muslims are known, he is known to do it too. He does them. So he is known for being a Muslim. Is this a Muslim? But his, and as we know, Islam of people vary. Islam vary from one person to the other. When you say Islam varies, it means our submission to Allah varies as human beings. No two Muslims are equal in terms of their Islam. No two human beings have equal levels of submission at the same time. No two human beings have levels of Iman being equal at the same time. This is the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. There are some of the people who believe that Iman does not increase nor reduce. And those are the people referred to as Al-Murji'ah, the people of Irja. They believe that no matter how much righteous deed a Muslim does, as righteous as Abu Bakr and Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and as unrighteous as people like Zul Khuwaisara can be, Zul Khuwaisara was the man who challenged the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Muhammad, Aidil, innaka lam ta'dil. O Muhammad, be just, because you have not been just. The Prophet was distributing, alayhi salatu wasalam, materials, some gold materials and others that were sent to him by Ali ibn Abi Talib from Yemen. And as he distributed it, he was distributing it from the guidance of Allah. But this man felt that people like them and others could have gotten a particular share that in his view the Prophet had not given to them. So he was so audacious to meet the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he said and say, Ya Muhammad Shaydi, O Muhammad, be fair, be just, فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تَعْدِلْ, because you have not shown justice. The Prophet said to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, if I am not just, who will be just? See this response. If the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is not just, who will be just? And he has told us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةً. So if the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is not just in his very wrong and parochial thought, who then will be just? Will Allah be telling us to copy a man who is not just? Will Jibreel alayhi salam, Rasulul Amin, be sent to a person to deliver a message to the whole of mankind, and the person is not just? If the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, if he is not just, who then will be just? So, as righteous as Abu Bakr and Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and as unrighteous as people like Zul Khuwaisara, the Murji'ah believe that their Iman is the same. They believe that their Iman is the same. So this is a wrong thought. It's a wrong position. And they believe that it is like that for all the Muslims. So the Muslim who heard the call for Salatul Asr, Hayya ala salah, and went into the diaspora. And the Muslim who heard the call for salah, Hayya ala salah, he went to the masjid. And after 15 minutes or 20 minutes, the one from the masjid came out of the masjid. And the one who was in the diaspora also came out of the diaspora. The Murji'ah believe that their Iman is the same. They are the same in terms of belief. This position is wrong. There are many things that indicate that it is wrong. One of it is the hadith of Jibreel, alayhi salatu wasalam, where the Prophet made us understand that there is the level of Iman, there is the level of Islam, there's a level of iman, and there's a level of what? Ihsan. And we know what each of these levels are. So, amongst other things, so the iman of each of us, our Islam, our levels of submission vary from one person to the other. Even amongst the companions, Allah said to us, He said, لَا يَفْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ مَنْ أَنْفَقَ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ وَقَاتَلْ He said, أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ وَقَاتَلُوا He says, وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى He says, لَا يَفْتَوِي مَنْ أَنْفَقَ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ Those amongst the companions, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Uthman ibn Affan, Abdurrahman ibn Awf, Suhaib al-Rumi, and all these, who spent their wealth and their person and their sweat, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhum, before such acts only occurred in what year of Islam? In the seventh year of Islam. Before the seventh year of Islam. All of these people spent all they had, 10 years, 10, 30 years, 3 years in Medina, 30 years in Makkah. All they had, you were spending. He says, liar for minkum, you amongst the companions, you cannot make comparison between man and faqa min qabli al-fatih. Those who spent their money before Fatih Makkah. Waqatal, not only that they spent. Naam. Fatih Makkah, according to the 8th year of Hijrah. So, he said, you cannot compare this set of people. Oh, Abu occurred in the 7th year. Fatumaka occurred in the 8th year of Hijrah. He says, you cannot compare all those who spent their money, who are spending their money and their wealth, not only their money, their life, they even put it at stake. He says, Ula'ika a'azamu darajata min al-ladina anfaqu min ba'd. These people have a higher level of iman. They have a higher level, a higher position than those who spent their money later. And they also fought too later. He said, but for each of the two, he says, وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. For each of the two, Allah has promised them good. They have good promises from Allah. Because He will reward each person according to what he has done. So even amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, no two of them are equal in the same thing. All of them, no two persons are equal in terms of their Islam. Different things indicate the level of the perfection of the Islam of the Muslims. There are things that indicate that this is the level of the Islam of so and so. From the things that indicate, we are just explaining this hadith. From the things that indicate that level is تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي that he leaves what is not of concern. He leaves something regarding with if it is a speech, if he keeps quiet, he will not have sin. If he keeps quiet, he will not sin. He will not sin if he kept quiet. تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي If he didn't act, of course, speech is also from action. Because speak is a verb. So speech is also an action. That someone speaks, he has performed an action. In fact, that he keeps silent is also an action. So whatever someone does, so they say at-tarku fi'l, or they say tarku fi'l, that you leave something undone, you have also done something. What did you do? You left something undone. So, if you leave something, you didn't do it, you didn't say it, and it will not bring about sin for you. That sin is malaya anik. Except in the aspects of, for example, nasiha. Even when some of the scholars believe that there are some of the aspects of nasiha that we must do for the Muslims when we are in the situations of correcting them. So when you correct a Muslim, or you see him going into an error, you correct him. and things like that. Those ones fall under the issues of adrenal nafeha, which we have also discussed in some length. But from the issues of personal matters of the Muslims, someone can see somebody walking on the road, start asking, where are you coming from? If he didn't ask him, he does not do anything to him. And if he told him where he was coming from, he does not do anything to him. So why is he asking him where he's coming from? If he didn't tell him where he was coming from, he does not do anything to him. If he told him where he was coming from, it does not bring any benefit to the one who is asking. So why ask him? Filaya Nik does not bring any concern to you. So that the Muslim does not get engaged in these things indicates his level of Islam. Because from the benefits he will get is his mind will be less bothered. He will be less burdened in his mind. And he will be more concerned with his own affairs. He will not be dabbling into people's affairs. When there is trouble, they will not come and call him. Because he wasn't there, he didn't say anything regarding him. They will not be saying, so say one day, so. He was there too, he said. And then he will not be engaging in so many things that are prohibited clearly from the text of the Quran and Sunnah. He said that in Surah Al-Salam in an authentic narration. It says, Inna Allah kariha lakum salaf. Allah has prohibited you from three things. The first thing he mentioned, what did he say? Kila wa kola. Hearsay, rumor mongering. So the one who bothers more about himself is less found wanting in terms of issues of rumor mongering. Because in the first place, he did not say anything. He does not have a statement to be mongered amongst the people. So from the things that indicate the perfection of the Islam of a person, according to this narration, as it is here, is that tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. He leaves what is not of concern to him. It does not concern him. Which food did you eat in your house today? People can ask. If he didn't tell him what food he ate in his house, he does not do anything to him. If he told him what food he ate in his house, he does not do anything to him. So why did he ask? Tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. In fact, in case if he can even say, oh, I just drank grounded cassava today. The next thing is perhaps to start. So even you, and starts looking down upon the people. So dabbling into what does not concern him may begin to bring him into the matters of sin. So it says, "Min husni Islam in mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni." All what you are saying is just trying to make us understand this hadith. So this hadith, Al-Imam al-Nawawi regarding it says, it is what? Hadithun Hasanun. Hadithun Hasanun. Says it is a Hasan hadith. The last time when we were discussing the last hadith, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi said, alayhi rahmatullah, that the hadith was what? Hasanun Sahihun. So we tried to explain what does it mean to say a hadith is Hasan. So I think we understand what the hadith of Hasan means, simply. So a hadith of Hasan in jurisprudence is the next hadith to hadith of Sahih. Al-Imam al-Hafiz al-Iraqi, before him Ibn Salah and others, they say that the scholars of hadith have divided a hadith, every hadith you see, it falls to one of three categories. It's either Sahih or Hasan or Da'if. So for them, they add Mawdu under Da'if. So some scholars will say, no, put Da'if separately and also put Mawdu separately. So this one falls in the second category, Hadithun Hasanun, according to Al-Imam al-Nawawi, alayhi rahmatullah. Because if it is hadith and da'if, he had told us at the introductory note, if we remember, that every hadith he puts in this book is a hadith that can be depended upon for evidence, which means it will only be either sahih or what? Hasan. But other than sahih or hasan, you will not see it in his book. It means even if you see a hadith that based on the rulings of other scholars, the hadith is da'if, if you see it in this book, the implication is that as far as the Imam al-Nawawi is concerned, his ruling on that hadith is either what? Sahih or hasan. So here he has specified that in his ruling and grading of this hadith min husni islam al-mar'i tafuhu ma la ya'ni is hadithun hasanun. And the difference between hadithun hasanun and hadithun sahih is just in one point, and that is in the matters of dhabt. So hadithun sahih, the reporter must be a what? Tamud dhabt. This is sahihun li dhatihi. And the hasan we are talking about too is also what? Hasanun li dhatihi. Because there are also divisions like that. There is hadithun sahihun li ghayrihi, and there is also hadithun hasanun li ghayrihi. But all of what we have been talking about, sahih and hasan, has to do with sahihun li dhatihi and hasanun li dhatihi. That is, sahihun li dhatihi, a hadith that is sahih, because all of the conditions of a sahih hadith that we have mentioned to us before is found in that hadith. Do you remember? The first thing we talked about is what? We said that reporter, or all of the reporters in the chains of narration of a hadith you will refer to be sahih, all of them must have, they must be what? Each of them must be adl, and then all of them must be udul. That is, they must be trustworthy people in terms of their character. They must not be people who lie and ascribe it to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is referred to as al-kazib, lying. Even when al-kazib to the scholars of hadith means lying against the Prophet, not just lying. If you see the scholars of hadith say kazzab, what it means is that he is wadda. He fabricates narrations and then he ascribes it to the person. So somebody who reports a hadith that is authentic must not be of this attitude, or he must never have done this before. The second thing, somebody who must be an adil, or those people who are udul, who are reporters of authentic hadith and sahih, he must not also be mutahamun bil kazib. That is, he must not be a person who has, linguistically, mutahamun bil kazib means someone who is accused of lying, linguistically. But to the scholars of hadith, mutahamun bil kazib means someone who lies in his daily affairs. So there's difference for the scholars of hadith between someone who tells lies and then ascribes it to the Prophet ﷺ. And there is someone who lies in his dealings with people. This is referred to as what? Muttahamun bil kazib. The one who is accused of lying. Not because he's accused of lying, he lies once or not. He lies in his daily dealings with the people. So someone who is considered trustworthy by the scholars of hadith is not known for this. Also, la yartakibu al-kabira. He does not act upon, he does not persist upon major sin, any major sin. Someone who is referred to by the scholars of hadith as a fiqh, for example, must be free from these three things that we have counted. The fourth one is bid'ah. He must not be known to be an innovator. It must not be known to be an innovator, and especially al-adda'i ila bid'atihi, the one who invites into his innovation. So also, and other things. So for a hadith to be sahih, someone must be adlun. The next one is that it must be what? He must have tamamud dabt. So he must be tamamud dabt. Someone who, when he hears something, he memorizes it. So that's referred to as ad-dabtu bimara bilhim. Or he must be someone who has ad-dabtu bimara bil kitab. That is, if he hears a narration now, he will write it down. And he will preserve that book, keeping it with him. And any day you ask him about that hadith, he will bring the book and he will read the hadith to you. And there will be no alterations from what he has heard and written the first day and what he has read to you 6 months after, for example. So these kind of people are referred to as he has dabtu bimara bil kitab. So when he has any of these or the two together, there are some of the scholars, they memorize and they write down, like Imam Ahmad bin Shambal, alayhi rahmatullah. He memorizes and he writes down. Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, he memorizes and he writes down. So, but there are some of the people that memorize us. There are some of the people that they write and preserve their works that they have written. So when someone has this perfect retention of narrations, whether in his mind or in his book, it is referred to as what? Dubt. So he has dubt, he has tamud dubt. The other thing that must occur in a hadith that is sahih is that this kind of a man must be, or all of the people who are in the chain of that report must have these characteristics. We are just trying to simplify these matters so that averagely we can understand it. It's common now in books. You say the hadith is not authentic. What does it mean? Many times people are not able to. They just say it's not authentic. If you say a hadith is not authentic, why is it not authentic? So the reasons why, what can make you say a hadith is authentic are these that we are trying to make us understand the basics, the rudiments of it, inshallah. So the third reason, the third condition to say a hadith is sahih is that the kind of man who has had the first two characteristics that we had described, the first one is what? Adala. The second one is what? Dubt. Must be the kind of person also throughout the chain of narration. Up to, for example, Imam Bukhari, who has written. So if you see a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Imam Bukhari say, Haddathani, masalan, Abdullah, I always use this as an example, Abdullah ibn Qa'nab al-Qa'nabi. And he says, Haddathani, Malik. And he says, Haddathani Nafir. And he says, Haddathani Abdullah ibn Umar. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What we are saying so far, the application to this that we have mentioned is that Imam al-Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah is making us understand that this person, Abdullah ibn Qa'nab al-Qa'nabi, is what? Adil. Secondly, Dabit. The third thing there is that what? He is also telling us when he says Haddathana, the link there, it is all sana there is that what binds them there. The cementing factor there is what? Haddathana. So when Al-Qanabi says Haddathana, and you look at, we have said somebody who must be an Azlum, he must not be a person who lies and ascribes it to the messenger. He must not be a person who lies on his daily affairs. And then he must not be a person who is given to sinning, a particular sin, that's a major sin, and then he persists on it, amongst other things. There is not someone who forgets what he has memorized. So it means if Abdullah ibn Qanab al-Qanabi says, Haddathani Nafi', Haddathani Malik, Imam Malik narrated to me, you will not think that he's lying. We say it is the truth, because he's not known to be a liar. In fact, he's known not to be a liar. It's not that he's not known to be a liar. That will be a majhul. Adam al-ilmi bi adam al-adam al-ilmi bi mufassikin. But the secret is al-ilmu bi adam mufassikin. We are sure that he does not do it. So this work has been done by the scholars of Islam over the years. All those people you see who report narrations, they lived with them, they dealt with them, slept with them, traveled with them, knew everything about them. Everything about them, they know it, and they are recorded in the books of biography of narrators. So the break in the chain of narration is broken by we believing that Ibn Qarnab al-Qarnabi is not a liar and cannot lie, and then ascribe it to the Prophet and does not lie. And then he says he has heard from Malik. So there's a link between the two of them. So that's what it means when you say it's all a sanad. And then he, Al-Imam Malik, la yus'alu anhu, don't ask about who is Malik. Alayhi rahmatullah. Li'anna Malik yas'alu anin nas, wa la yus'alu anhu. Alaykum salam. So you don't ask who is Malik. We know who Imam Malik is. Alayhi rahmatullah. Imamun min a'immatil muslimin. So he says to alayhi rahmatullah that haddathani Nafi'. So you don't say, what is the link between Nafi'? So the chain is also linked there. And then Nafi' also says haddathani Ibn Umar. And then Ibn Umar says qala Rasulullah. We know Ibn Umar lived with the Prophet. This link of human beings is what is referred to as isnad. In English, they call it chain of transmission. So a chain that transmits statements. So when any one of these people we have mentioned, we are trying to explain hadith on Hassanah. When any one of these people in the chain of narration is known to be khafiful dabt. Khafiful dabt are those whose dabt, you know what dabt is, retention, is lesser than the level of those who are tamu. So they say tamu, perfect, complete, khafif, is lesser in terms of perfection compared to the first. Because if you say it is weak, you are referring to a weak narrator, though. So you say khafif. Yani khafif, the nisbat man huwa a'la minhu. It is khafifun nisbi. It is weak relatively to the first set of people. Not that it is khafif and weak. It is weak with respect to the reporters of hadith on Sahih. So when you find one from one or two or three in this kind of chain of narration that we have referred to as isnad, we say the hadith is what hasanun. So here, the kind of thing Imam Nawawi is telling us that this hadith is what hasan, and as such, authentic. And he says, Rawahu Tirmidhi. This is the second hadith out of Bukhari and Muslim. The first hadith out of Bukhari and Muslim was the last hadith. Da'a ma yaribuka ila ma la yaribuka. The second hadith out of Bukhari and Muslim in this Arba'un of Al-Imam al-Nawawi is this hadith, min husni Islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. So he says, aside Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, he says, wa ghayruhu, others have also reported the hadith. Like Al-Imam al-Nasa'i, alayhi rahmatullah. Like Al-Imam Malik, alayhi rahmatullah. He is also mentioned to have reported this hadith. And Al-Imam Malik has reported that hadith from his popular teacher, and that is Al-Imam al-Zuhri, alayhi rahmatullah. He said Imam Malik also reported it besides Imam al-Tirmidhi. We are hearing your voice and it's not proper. So Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi also reported the hadith together with Al-Imam Malik. Al-Imam Tirmidhi came after Malik. Tirmidhi came after Malik. We had Malik and the people in his category, Ulama refer to that as his Tabaqa. Then those people who followed the Tabaqa of Al-Imam Malik, they are people like Al-Imam Shafi, alayhi rahmatullah. So they are those who follow. And then people like Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. So most of the time they group them in the same Tabaqa. And people like Bukhari came later. So between Malik and Bukhari, there are about two levels. And Tirmidhi is from the students. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi are from those who took knowledge from Al-Imam al-Bukhari. So between Tirmidhi alayhi rahmatullah and Imam Malik, about three, four levels of people. They refer to that as tabaqat from the scholars of hadith. So from those who have reported this hadith, is Al-Imam Malik. And Al-Imam Malik has reported this hadith from his teacher, Al-Imam Zuhri. His name is Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn Ubaidillah ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. He's from the greatest scholars of hadith. Al-Imam Zuhri is from those referred to as Sigaru Tabi'in, the younger ones amongst the students of the companions, because he said to have met Imam Malik Anas ibn Malik, the companion of the Prophet. So Imam Zuhri alayhi rahmatullah reported this hadith. But apart from Imam Malik, from the students of Imam Zuhri, there are others who reported it. From amongst those who has reported it from Imam al-Zuhri was Al-Imam Ma'mar ibn Rashid. Also Al-Imam Yunus ibn Zayd. He also reported it from Al-Imam al-Zuhri alayhi rahmatullah. And others. There is also Iman, one of the scholars also, who reported the hadith from Al-Imam al-Zuhri. Please, let's try to follow it up, inshallah. His name is Qurrah ibn Abd al-Rahman. Qurrah ibn Abd al-Rahman, it is his report that we are reading, not the report of Imam Malik. Because Qurrah ibn Abd al-Rahman, he reported the hadith mentioning that Al-Imam Zuhri said that he reported from Abu Salama. Abu Salama, not the companion. Abu Salama here is the son of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, who is a Tabi'i. So Qurra said that Al-Imam Zuhri said he reported the hadith from Abu Salama. And Abu Salama reported from Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. So that is the report you are seeing here. So this report is the report of who? Qurrah. But Al-Imam Malik, Imam Yunus, Ma'mar ibn Rashid, and others who have reported this hadith from Imam Zuhri also, they say, Al-Imam Zuhri, rahimahullah, reported this hadith from who? From Hussein, from Ali ibn Hussein, ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah reported this hadith, and he has reported it from who? From Zuhri. That Al-Imam al-Zuhri has reported this hadith from who? From Ali ibn Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. That is the grandchild of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And that Ali has reported the hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This kind of a report When a tabi'i, the tabi'i is anyone who has met the companion and took narrations from the companion. Those who met the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are referred to as what? Tabi'u. So when a tabi'i says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, that's kind of a report. The scholars of hadith refer to it as what? Mursal. مَا رَوَاهُ التَّابِعِيُّ مَرْفُوعًا مَا رَوَاهُ التَّابِعِي مَرْفُوعًا. What a tabi'i reports, linking it up to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That hadith is referred to as what? Mursal. And hadith mursal is from the kinds of hadith da'if. Hadith mursal is from the types of hadith da'if. There are over 20 kinds of hadith da'if. Hadith sahih, only two types. Sahih li dhatihi and sahih li ghayrihi. Hadith hasan, there are also two types. Hasanun li dhatihi, hasanun li ghayrihi. But hadith da'if, which is the third aspect of the hadith, as we mentioned earlier, he has many types of hadith in da'if. So one of the types of hadith in da'if is hadithun mursalun. So how does a hadith mursal, why is it ruled as da'if? We just want to make us understand these things. Perhaps it will help us some other time. A hadith mursal is da'if because this is a tabi'i who is reporting from the Prophet. He did not meet the Prophet. So where did he hear it? You can say he heard from a companion. You can also say he did not hear from a companion. He could have heard from any person. Just anyone we don't know. That person that we don't know could be a pious person. And he could be an impious person. It could be any person. Because aside the companions, any person is anything. Until we know who he is, then we can say, oh, this person is known not to be a liar. This person is known not to be a fornicator. This person is known not to be. Until we know the person. So when we cannot be sure who the person is, how then do we ascribe that kind of assessment to the Prophet? So that's why the ulama rule that the hadith mursal, there is no surety that it is from the statements of the Prophet ﷺ. If we say it is from the Prophet ﷺ, it is dhann that we have made. وَأَنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا. And dhann, suppositions, I think, they do not do anything to the truth. If you come closer, you will hear me better. So because of that, a hadith mursal is one of the forms of what? A hadith da'if. And we have said that all those who have reported the hadith from Al-Imam al-Zuhri, they are divided into two groups of people. Some people have reported the hadith, we say mawsulan, yani the istisal, that is with every chain linked up. And that is who Hurra Ibn Man Abdul Rahman, he has reported the hadith with a linked chain of narration. That Al-Imam al-Zuhri heard that hadith from who? From Abu Salama. And Abu Salama has heard from who? From Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira reported the hadith from who? From the Prophet. This is to solve. Okay, the other group of people from the students of Al-Imam al-Zuhri, like Al-Imam Malik, Imam Yunus, and others that we have mentioned, alayhim rahmatullah, they have reported the hadith mursalan, that Al-Imam al-Zuhri heard from who? Ali ibn Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib,
who reported from the Prophet ﷺ. And we said that that report is weak. So there is khilaf. There is a khilaf in the two sets of narration. In two ways. The first khilaf is that the first group reported the hadith with ittisal sanad. So they say they reported it musnadan. Do we understand? And that was who Qurra. The other group of people, all from Zuhri, the other sets of people have reported the hadith. It was a broken chain of narration, mursalan. So this is the first apparent variant. The second variant or difference in the manner of the report is from whom has Al-Imam Al-Zuhri heard the hadith? Did he hear it from Abu Salama or he heard it from Ali ibn Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib? This is the second variant to the khilaf. When we discuss the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, we mentioned some of the reasons why this kind of thing occurs. One of it is because Al-Imam Al-Zuhri has a lot of students. Alayhi rahmatullah. And that's why some of the people make the mistake of thinking that the first person to compile a hadith was Al-Imam Al-Zuhri. La. The hadith we have compiled right from the time of the Prophet. La. People like Abu Huraira compiled narrations. Abdullah ibn Abbas. Anas ibn Malik, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he has narration that he wrote, and others, Muadh ibn Jabal, he had narrations he wrote, Ali ibn Abi Talib, he had narrations that he wrote at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, people like Al-Imam Al-Zuhri only make official compilation. They were charged by the state at the time by Umar bin Abdul Aziz that he should compile narrations, because all these people who have individual compilations, people are dying now. So there's need for us to gather these narrations together. So if you say the first person who supervised an official compilation of hadith is Al-Imam Al-Zuhri, you are right. Alayhi rahmatullah. But if you say the first person to compile hadith was Al-Imam Al-Zuhri alayhi rahmatullah, you are wrong. Because a hadith we are compiled before his time alayhi rahmatullah. People like Al-Imam Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, from the teachers of Al-Imam Al-Zuhri, he had compilations and others amongst the Tabi'un, aside those companions we had mentioned, who were compiling narrations at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So because of this, a lot of people will talk to an Imam Al-Zuhri to hear narration. But like we said at the beginning, not everyone is at the same level of learning, knowledge, understanding an Imam. So from all these students of Al-Imam Al-Zuhri who have compiled this hadith, who have reported this hadith we are reading, that min husni islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, we have seen two apparently varying sets of narration. So what do? We've seen a narration that's reported mursalat by a set of people. We've seen a group of narrations that is also reported musnadan, ittisal, by another set of people. What do? The basic rule among the scholars of hadith, they refer to things like this as at-ta'arud bayna mada al-irsal wal-ittisal. That is conflict between a report, the same report, but it's being reported in different ways. Generally, people like Al-Imam Al-Hafiz Al-Iraqi and others, they say, okay, if it is reported in both ways by authentic narrators who are dependable, who have tamuddub, all of them have tamuddub, we are going to take the report of those who have reported it with a linked chain of narration. Why? If a person is known to have camel dump, can he report a narration saying that 1, 2, 3 has occurred? And another person who is also known to have camel dump has also reported another narration to say that 1, 2, 3, 4 has occurred. We do not have a reason to reject that fourth thing that has been mentioned, because he has reported the three and one additionally. This kind of a thing is referred to as what? Ziyadatu Thiqa. The person who is reliable in terms of his memory has added what others have not added. If he is one whose memory is dependable, is from the people referred to as Kamud Dab, or even Khafifud Dab, his report should be relied upon. He has reported what others have not reported. So if someone reports a hadith with irsal, another reports the hadith with ittisal, it means the one who has reported with ittisal has added what the one who has reported with irsal has not added, if they are both thiqat. But the case here is a little bit different, because aside the matter of irsal and ittisal, I hope we understand when we say irsal. I hope we understand when we say ittisal. If the one who has reported with irsal and the one who has reported with ittisal are both kamud dumps or khafifud dumps, the report of the one who has reported with ittisal will be accepted, because it means he has added what the other person who has reported with irsal has not added. Irsal is dropping somebody from the chain of narration. We explain all this from the beginning. If you have not been following from the beginning, you may not be able to follow now, because all of what we are saying now, we had explained it just now. We are just trying to move ahead, explain something and then explain other things depending on what we had explained earlier. So, but this hadith is a little bit away from that. Because if it had been said that by those who reported with irsal that Imam al-Zuhri heard from Abu Salama, who heard from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, do you understand? Could have been easily understood that, okay, the only thing that's left there is the issue of what? Abu Huraira. So it would have meant that they have added what he did not add. So we say we make the ruling based on ittisal. But here, the reporters, even from whom Al-Imam Zuhri is said to have reported the hadith, they are different. One says he has reported the hadith from Abu Salama. The other one says he has reported the hadith from Ali. So even if the reporters who both reported from Zuhri, even if they are both reliable narrators, there will still be need for us to give preponderance to one of the narrations over the other. So one of them will be referred to as Shaz, and the other will be referred to as what? Mahfum. Shaz, strange. We will drop one of them and we will take the other one. But how do we know which one to drop and which one to take? Ulama say we do tarjih between those who have reported based on route 1 and those who have reported based on route 2. So we make tarjih. So if you look at this chain of narration, we say Qurra ibn Abdul Rahman has reported this hadith in this form that we are reading it in Arba'un now. The question is, who is this Qurra? Who is this Qurra? Al-Imam al-Hafiz al-Midi, alayhi rahmatullah, has mentioned that regarding this Qurra, Al-Imam Abu Zurat al-Razi, alayhi rahmatullah, from amongst the scholars who describe the dubs of narrators and their adala and who study ittisal bayn asanid, the links in the chains of narration, and who study the ilal in ahadith, who study whether a hadith is shaz or not, from the those who make criticisms of narrators and their narrations regarding Quran, that's al Imam Abu Zura al Razi, Ubaydullah ibn Abdul Karim al Razi alayhi rahmatullah. He said this Quran alayhi rahmatullah, he said al ahadith allati yarwiha manakir, al ahadith allati yarwiha yani man qurra manakir. He said the narrations, the hadith that this qurra reports are what? Manakir. That is, they are reports of that usually contradict the report of dependable narrators. Do you understand? He is always contradicting dependable narrators. Perhaps more deeper in their level of detention and their depth than he. So but he is always contradicting them. So Imam Abu Zura alayhi rahmatullah said, Al-Hadith allati yarwiha manakir. The narrations that he brings, he is always contradicting more dependable narrators. Also, regarding him, Al-Imam Abu Hatim Al-Razi alayhi rahmatullah, his name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Abu Hatim Al-Razi. He said, alayhi rahmatullah, that laysa biqawi, is not strong, is not a strong narrator of hadith. Qurra is not a strong narrator of hadith. Also, al-Imam al-Nasa'i, alayhi rahmatullah, Ahmad ibn Shu'aib, Abu Abd al-Rahman, he said also, laysa biqawi, that Qurra is not strong in terms of his hadith. A weak reporter. Besides these scholars, Al-Imam Yahya ibn Ma'in alayhi rahmatullah, from among the scholars who lived at the time of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he said, da'if is weak reporter. And also Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah, regarding Qurra ibn Abd al-Rahman, he said, munkaru jiddan. It says munkaru al-hadith jiddan, just like saying that he is a reporter of what? Manakir. He is always contradicting more dependable narrators. So his reports are not as dependable as the reports of people like Al-Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah. And because of that, the scholars like Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, Yahya ibn Ma'in, Imam al-Dar al-Qutni, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, alayhim rahmatullah, they say that the report of Malik and the rest of them is more authentic, is authentic, and the report of Qurra from Al-Imam al-Zuhri is not authentic. So they give preference for that. Do we understand? They gave preference for the report of Malik. And this report of Malik that they have given preference for is what? Mursal. And a hadith mursal is what? Da'if. So this is the reason why the scholars, some of them have been ruling that this hadith is da'if. And it is the most authentic position. The most authentic position about this hadith, Allahu A'lam, is that this hadith, that min husni Islam al-Mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'min, is hadith is da'if. Because what is most important, what is most authentic regarding it is mursal. And a hadith mursal is what? Hadith is da'if. Some of the scholars have graded this hadith authentic. Like the Imam Ibn Abdul Barr al-Maliki, he mentioned the hadith to be authentic. Also, Al-Imam al-Nawawi, as you have seen here, also mentioned hadith authentic. And in our times, the Imam al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, if you read Sahih Sunan al-Tirmidhi, he said there, he also viewed the hadith authentic. One of his students, Sheikh Samir ibn Amin al-Zuhairi, he also viewed the hadith authentic. And others have mentioned hadith to be a reliable hadith. And others apart from them too have mentioned hadith to be a weak hadith. But it appears, Allahu A'lam, that those who have mentioned that the hadith is weak have a more correct, they are correct. And the others who say that the hadith is authentic appear to be wrong. Allahu A'lam. So this hadith is not an authentic hadith. It's not authentic to say that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, that min husni islam al mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. There are other hadiths that makes us understand that it is not proper to delve into matters that are not of concern to us. But when you say, refer to this hadith, to this statement, min husni islam al mar'i, don't attribute it to the Prophet. Because you cannot affirm, you cannot ascertain that the Prophet said so. And whatever anyone cannot ascertain from verification or change of narration that the Prophet said, it does not behove the Muslim to ascribe it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because based on knowledge, on the day of Qiyamah, if you are called to say, hey, did the Prophet say? He says, he said it. Okay. Does it prove that he said it? You will not be able to answer that one. Because there will be no lies on that day. But from those who have depended on it that it is authentic, they will say, yes, we believe that it's authentic from the knowledge you gave to us. Which could mean that, which does not mean that scholars could not err. A scholar could ask in his ijtihad. For them, they will have rewards. But it is you who will follow something that is known to you from knowledge that perhaps a scholar erred, and yet you follow the error, you are the one who will have problems. But as for the scholar who is capable of making this kind of judgment, people like Sheikh Al-Albani and others, they will have rewards for what they have done. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا اجْتَهَدَ الْمُجْتَهِدُ فَأَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرَانِ وَإِذَا اجْتَهَدَ وَأَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ وَاحِدٌ. That's why do not blame those ulama, alayhim rahmatullah. So what is most preponderant, Allahu A'lam, is that this hadith is weak. The best form of it is the mursal form. And the best form of it itself is not good enough. Because hadithul mursal is hadithul da'if. We had explained earlier when we talked about when we were reading the introductory notes of this book, that it's not proper to depend on weak narration. Because you cannot be sure to say that has come from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are very many other things we could have said while trying to discuss that chain of narration. We have just tried to leave many of them aside so that we can explain it in a manner that it should be understood by all, inshallah. Else, there are so many other things that we have not mentioned regarding that chain of narration of this hadith that the Prophet was reported to have said, that min husni islam al mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. So that is the 12th hadith of the compilation of Imam an-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah in his Arba'un. Alaykum salam. I'm not hearing what you're saying. Don't say so to say, unless if you are not convinced. or if you don't understand it. If you don't understand it, you can say so to or you don't agree, you can also say so to say. Do you understand? If you understood it, don't say so to say. If you don't also have another proof to say no, it is not the it, which you can also mention. If you don't have anything, don't say so to say.
Now,
is that from the Hadith? No, it's not from Sahih Muslim. Yes, this Hadith is from Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Muwatta Imam Malik. Sunan ibn Majah. Sahih ibn Hibban. These are those who have reported the Hadith. Alaykum as-salam.
Is this all the
hadith that is mursal in Sahih, or is it only this one that they are reporting? If any hadith singularly is mentioned to be mursal, that hadith is da'if, basically. Now, there can be two rulings on a hadith that is mursal. You can have mursalun da'if, that is, we say a hadith mursal is a hadith that a tabi'i, the student of the companion, reports, quoting the Prophet ﷺ. We know they didn't meet the Prophet ﷺ. The tabi'un is not, anyone who met the Prophet ﷺ was a Muslim at the time of the Prophet and died upon Islam, even Sahaba. But if a tabi'i reports a hadith and says, Qala Rasulullah ﷺ, when he says Qala Rasulullah, he's not saying that he heard it. When he says that Prophet said, he didn't say I heard it. If he was to say Hadassani, it would be a lie. But he didn't say that. He only said Qala Rasulullah, like you two today, you can say Qala Rasulullah. And nobody would have thought that you are meaning by your statement that you met the Prophet. Do we understand? So, you can also say An Rasulullah, from the Prophet. It's not a lie. So if a tabi'i says that every hadith that is finally ruled to be a mursal is da'if. Now, between, let's assume that hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawud. Between Imam Abi Dawud and, let's use this typical example, this hadith is in Muwatta Imam Malik. Between Imam Malik and Ali ibn Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, authentic. This hadith is a Muwatta. Imam Malik heard it from Imam Zuhri. They are known to be teacher and students of one another. Imam Zuhri is the teacher of Imam Malik. So Zuhri, Imam Malik reported it directly inside his Muwatta from his teacher Imam Zuhri. Now Imam Zuhri, alayhi rahmatullah, reported from Ali ibn Hussein. You can see between the writer of this hadith, the compiler of this hadith, the collector of this hadith, Imam Malik, and the person who made that irsal, in this case, Ali ibn Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, which is an authentic chain of narration. Is it not between Imam Malik and Ali, it's authentic. They are reliable narrators, Tam and Dab, and there's a tussle between them. The only area where there's problem is between Ali ibn Abi, between Ali ibn Hussein, Ali ibn Abi Talib, and the Prophet. So we say from the collector to the one who made Irsal is authentic. So it is Mursal, but it is Sahih. It is called Mursalun Sahih. So that Mursalun Sahih is da'if. But if there were to be a weak reporter between Malik and that Tabi, that I wouldn't be like. Imam Malik does not report from a weak reporter. But imagine that there's a weak narrator between the collector of the hadith and the person who did the Irsal. That is referred to as what? Mursalun da'if. You now see this Mursalun da'if is da'ifun jiddan, overall ruling. But Mursalun sahih, overall ruling is what? Da'if. So that Mursalun da'if is worse than Mursal. Do you understand? Mursalun da'if is worse than Mursalun sahih. Mursalun sahih, overall ruling is what? Da'if. But Mursalun Da'if, overall means what? Da'if Jidda. Very weak. This one is weak, this one is very weak. So you now see that Mursalun Da'if, keep it aside. It has no value. La yu'tabaru bihi. The one you can hang around with is Mursalun Sahih. If you hold this Mursalun Sahih, which is also ordinarily on its own da'if, you can look for another Mursalun Sahih like it. You can look for another Mursal like it, with the wordings having the same meaning like this, but it has completely different chain of narration. And it is also another Mursalun Sahih. These two can come together and they will become what? Hasanun Lijayhihi. You know, we say that this Hasan is divided into two. Hasan Lijayhihi, Hasanun Lijayhihi. So this one will be Hasanun Lijayhihi. It is Hasan because of another supporter. Supporting it. So they strengthen one another. So that's one way of strengthening a hadith that is what? Mursalun Sahih. Don't forget. So if it's Mursalun Da'if, just put it aside. There's jiddah. Has no value. There are so many hadith that we know that are from this. We could have been mentioning them. It will take our time because it will lead us completely to another matter. But let's just take this basic understanding from it. So basically, a hadith of Mursal Sahih is da'if. When that Mursal itself has in its chain of narration a weak narrator, it is what? Mursal in da'if. And it took me what? Da'if jidda. Alaykum salam. Alaykum. We have mentioned that before him, alayhi rahmatullah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, alayhi rahmatullah. Before him also, the Imam al-Bukhari, Amir al-Mu'mineen fi al-Hadith. And before him also, Imam al-Tirmidhi. Inside Sunan al-Tirmidhi itself, if you go there, Imam al-Tirmidhi will tell you that this Hadith is weak. The most reliable aspect of the Hadith is the one that is Mursa. It's in Sunan al-Tirmidhi like that. If you go and check it, you see it. Now, you see. Yes, that the most authentic report is the one that is what? Mursal. Imam al-Tirmidhi mentioned that in his Sunan. After him also, Imam al-Darqutni. The Imam with two heads. Alayhi rahmatullah. Abu al-Hasan. I didn't say he has two heads. What I mean that he has two, he can... And Imam Darqutni alayhi wa rahmatullah, one day he was in a city and he was writing hadith. He was seated at the end of the seat and he was writing, he had a compilation of hadith, he was writing it, and he was listening to the Imam narrating report. Someone came to him and said, you mix up this narration. He said, I will not mix up the narration. My listening to it and your own listening to it, they are not the same. Do you memorize what the Imam has been dictating to us? Yes, I was writing, but do you memorize what he has been dictating? The person said he didn't know. I said, okay, he has reported 12 hadiths. Hadith number one, he said, Haddathana fulan fulan fulan. Hadith two, Haddathana fulan fulan. And he was still writing when he was hearing what the person was saying. He was writing at the same time he was listening. Darqutni. Alayhi rahmatullah. So he also declared this hadith that the most authentic report of it is the one that is what? Mursal. After him also we had Al-Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali. If you go to Jami Al-Ulum Wal-Hikam, you see that. He also said that the most authentic aspect of this hadith is the one that is what? Mursal. By that, he's telling you that the hadith is what? Weak. Alayhim Rahmatullah. And others too. Alaykum salam.
Thank you.
Well, that is the fitna that you have learned from someone who does not verify these narrations before he reads it to the people. That's your own wizard. That is his own wizard also, that he does not verify the report he is ascribing to the Prophet before he ascribes it to the Prophet. Because every hadith you see, except if the hadith is mentioned to the Bukhari and Muslim, you don't have problems. But if the hadith is not mentioned to the Bukhari and Muslim, find out. Before you start saying prophecy, find out. And he had said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man haddafa anni hadithan yura annahu kazb, fahuwa ahadul kazibayn. Imam Muslim started the hadith. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, anyone who reports a hadith from me, yura annahu kazb, he's not sure whether it's a lie or not. He doesn't, yeah, I say it. He says, فَهُوَ أَحَدُ الْكَذِبَيْنِ. The person who does that is one of two liars. In another report says, أَحَدُ الْكَذِبِينَ, one of the liars. So if it's a lie, you have also lied. Do you understand? If it's a lie, you have lied too. And that's why he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, also in Sahih Muslim, he said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا and you had this at the Kulima Samia. It suffices as a liar to know that this man is a liar. When they ask you, why do you know that he's a liar? He used to narrate anything that he hears. Just anything you narrate it to. With no verification. Kafa bil man. Just know that that person is a liar. So that's why it's not comfortable to say people depend on weak narration and they don't bother saying weak narration. So what? Actually, you're a liar now. If you don't bother that, you're reporting and narrating and reading and learning with narrations, you don't bother, you're a liar. The Prophet said, "Offer the mighty Kaziban, and you had this of the Kulli Ma Samia." It suffices for a man to show that he's a liar. What? That just anything he hears, he says it. So don't rely upon any narration until it is verified. Look for a scholarly opinion. Especially in Bukhari and Muslim. Otherwise, look for a scholarly opinion. Is it Sahih? Is it Daif? If it is Sahih, depend on it. If it's not Sahih, don't depend on it. But if you are a layman, a person who is a layman, you can't go on to say, okay, let me see, aside Bukhari and Muslim, let me see also Sunan al-Arba, what have other scholars said about it? If he has the ability, let him find out more. Act upon knowledge. Or if he does not have the ability, depend on one scholar. They said, one Sheikh says, Sahih, are you khalas? But not to find out at all. And they say it's one hadith now. The Prophet said, and you don't know whether it's Sahih or not. They are just showing that you're a liar. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, kafa lil mar'i kaziban an yuhaddisa bi kulli ma sami'a. It suffices for a man as a liar that all he does is just narrate anything that he hears. It suffices as a symbol of a liar on a person. There are many people who have had this problem in the history of Islam. They themselves were not liars. But because they were not careful about the kind of reports they were giving, they were declared as liars. So lies went along on their tongues while they did not intend to lie. Do you understand? They were transmitting lies, but they were not intending lies. They are reporting, transmitting, teaching, explaining, proclaiming lies, but they themselves did not intend to lie. So the scholars refer to them as liars. Because the Prophet said, فَهُوَ أَحَدُ الْكَذِبَيْنِ. The one who does that, not caring what he reports, is one of the two liars. The first person is the first liar who fabricated the report. And the second liar is the one who is transmitting it, not caring what has been reported by who. It's very, very important that when we read those books, we verify. And that also, people don't care. There are a lot of nonchalance about this matter. Let me just mention one thing. You'll feel somehow. There are some books you read. I tell you that the hadith is weak. I tell you some of those who make shelf of Bulugh al-Maram. Because this hadith is da'if. They agree that it is da'if. It's not that they don't agree that the hadith is da'if. They start saying, from the hukmu, وَمِمَّا يُسْتَفَادُ مِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ They start talking. كَيْفَ تَسْتَفِيدُ مِنْ حَدِيثٍ da'if? What hujjah do you want to make with hadith that is weak? You know from the benefit, which benefit? The hadith is weak, khalas. Look for another one. On the matter you want to discuss. Hadith asking from the benefits of this hadith and the start of it. Allahu A'la. Next and the last question. Well, this is one of the challenges that those of our brothers who are teaching in Arabic schools have. You've not taken the time to sit down and write something children can read of the biography of the Prophet that is based on authentic reports. People have not cared. In fact, many times people have not cared. They said Prophet Maria Khadija when she was 40, Prophet was 45. It's a lie, it's not true. It's a lie. We are saying Prophet Maria Khadija. In fact, some people, when they want to prove that a Muslim man can marry somebody who is a woman who is older than him, they ask about Prophet Maria Khadija, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was 25 years old, and Khadija was 40. It's a lie, it's not authentic. Very, very weak report. They all exchange a very weak narration. And they are ascribing it to the Prophet. I didn't ascribe it to the Prophet. I'm just Qiyamah. If Allah asked him, did I tell you that my Prophet married at age 25 and married Khadija at 40? What will you say? And that's why you really know you can. Did you verify it? So people should take the time to... I'm trying to look for one of those brothers who teach in the school. Write that. Even in English too. People should make efforts. We have been seeing most of these things. Allahu A'lam. But there are books you can read. There are three now that I know that you can read. From them you find authentic narrations regarding the history of Islam. One of it is As-Siratul Nabawiyyah As-Sahiha. As-Siratul Nabawiyyah As-Sahiha by Dr. Ziaul Umari. Is in two volumes. All of the reports that he says, this one is authentic, this one is not authentic, this one is authentic, this one is not authentic. And there's also now Subul Salam, Fi Sirat al-Khair al-Anam. Now it's available now. You have it. All of it is based on authentic narrations. There is also, though this one is not complete, by Sheikh Al-Albani, Sahih Sirat al-Nabawiyyah. It goes to some aspects, not a complete work. But you see, from the very beginning, he begins to differentiate between weak and authentic narrations. If you gather these books, you can make a book for children on Tariq al-Islam based on authentic reports, authentic narrations that are dependable, and not based on weak reports that should not be depended upon. Al-Rahiq Makhtum. Ibn Hisham has a lot of weak reports. Or any other book, most of those books, Ibn Hisham, Ibn Ishaq, they have weak reports. Rahiq Makhtum has weak reports too. Rahiq Makhtum does not intend, the author, Safiyyu Rahman Mubakhpuri, did not intend only authentic reports. He still finds weak reports in there. There are weak reports in No, we have said this is the last question. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله يا رب.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، اشهد ان لا اله الا انت، استغفرك. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله.